I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. As climate negotiators meet in Copenhagen, polls suggest that the U.S. is one of the few countries where concern about climate change is falling. Today, we learned of a possible reason. Temperatures in North America have actually been on the cool side in recent years. The UN's weather agency presented that finding today at the International Summit on Climate Change. The bigger picture is more sobering, though. The figures show that globally, the current decade has been the warmest since records began 160 years ago. India has been especially vulnerable to global warming. That fact is leading the Indian government to soften its position on greenhouse gas emissions. Yesterday, we reported on India's internal debate on climate policy. Today, in her second report from New Delhi, Miranda Kennedy tells us about India's promises on green energy.
Well, our top focus this evening remains the crisis that has been caused by incessant rains across southern India.
Earlier this fall, when there was unprecedented flooding in southern India, environmentalists took to the TV talk shows to try to stir people up about climate change.
With climate change, our food security is at risk, our health security is at risk, our water security is at risk.
Bitu Sehgal, the editor of the magazine Sanctuary Asia, says India's long coastline and proximity to the Himalayan mountains make the country especially vulnerable to the impacts of rising sea levels and melting glaciers. But he worries that few Indians understand the seriousness of the problem and that the government hasn't done enough to raise the alarm.
The Prime Minister should get onto the air, and he should talk to farmers, he should talk to the urban and rural poor, and he should tell them what climate change is. If there was an external threat from another country, that's what he would do.
Government officials, though, say such criticism is unfair.
The idea that India's not willing to do anything is just completely wrong, because in our own national action plan for climate change, we've said we must do something.
That's Mantak Singh Ahluwalia, the Prime Minister's chief economic policymaker. He's referring to new legislation that would dramatically limit the growth of India's carbon emissions.
Starting with a statutory requirement that you've got to purchase X percent of your electricity from clean sources. We have decided to launch a program for development of solar thermal electricity, which is actually more expensive than coal. But the idea is that the government will subsidize the difference.
The legislation would ensure that India get 20% of its electricity from renewable sources within 10 years. It would also set the country's first mandatory energy efficiency standards for vehicles, appliances, and buildings. Environment Minister Jairam Ramesh says efforts like these show that India is doing its part on climate change.
India is not part of the problem, but India wants to be part of the solution.
Since announcing the new energy policies, Ramesh has become a target of criticism at home, with many legislators accusing him of selling India out to the West. But the promises actually come with a big caveat. India wants developed countries to help fund the transition to a lower carbon economy, and that could be a big sticking point, especially since India continues to refuse the binding emissions caps that some in the West are demanding. But without such aid, India's homegrown green energy industry may continue to spin its wheels. Government scientists have been researching clean technologies here in this sprawling solar development facility outside Delhi for more than 30 years. India created a ministry devoted to renewable energy back in the 1970s. But in all that time, researchers haven't made any major breakthroughs. When I came by for a scheduled tour mid-morning on a weekday, there didn't seem to be much urgency to the solar mission here. I was told that only 5 full-time scientists work here, and they were all out of the office. A couple of researchers sheepishly offered me a soda and led me around. One of them, Nikhil Gurka, started up what he calls a sun simulator machine, which tests the ideal conditions for solar thermal panels.
We calculate what is the VOC, what is the fill factor, what is the short circuit current.
Indian researchers have helped improve solar heaters and lanterns for use in rural areas. Wind power is also taking root in some parts of the country. But while other countries, from Germany to Japan, have made big strides in clean energy, India has little to show for its efforts. And it still depends on highly polluting coal for more than half of its electricity. Still, many here believe that India is already on a less polluting path than industrial nations took. including Chandrabhushan, a climate researcher with the Center for Science and the Environment in Delhi.
Our energy consumption is increasing at a much lower rate than our growth, which is a very good sign.
For that good sign, Bhushan partly credits the Indian government, which charges industry some of the highest energy rates in the world in an effort to conserve resources. He says Indian companies also have to report their energy use.
India was probably the first country in the world to demand energy data disclosure in the financial report. So every company in this country has to say what they have done for conservation of energy.
Bhushan agrees that there's plenty of room for improvement, though. Roughly a third of India's electricity is lost to theft and leakage. And while India's per capita carbon emissions are among the lowest of the major world economies, that's because more than half the population has no access to electricity at all. It's inevitable that that will change. India is now promising that many of those hundreds of millions will get their power from renewable sources. Much of the rest of the world is hoping the country makes good on that promise. For The World, this is Miranda Kennedy, New Delhi.
Miranda Kennedy's reports from India were produced with the assistance of the International Reporting Project.